faith and do what we're supposed to do and then ultimately leave the results up to God. Sometimes we think that the results depend on us, but that is not the case. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3, and it's Brother McClellan, right? I was fine with you just preaching the rest of the service, so if you want to get up here, that'd be fine. So I was actually going to be in Remsen tonight, and I had forgot Pastor Jesse had asked if I had a Wednesday open. I didn't, and then the pastor there last night called me. He said, "Hey, our kids are sick," and I said, "Well, that's too bad. Let's just meet up for lunch then." And so we were just going to go to Lamar's where we're staying and just help, you know, go with Levi for the youth thing. And then Levi woke up this morning and he was sick. And so I was like, well, I need to go somewhere. And so I texted you and I had already forgotten. My wife is the brain of the whole operation. So I barely get by, and you'll see as I'm preaching, you're going to go, how does this guy continue on? You know, my wife wrote this sermon, so... But anyway, I'm up here, and you guys didn't come here for jokes, but I appreciate you guys humoring that. If you would, open to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and before we go in, I don't have a title for the message. It's just a practical lesson on witnessing, and we'll kind of go into a little bit of the scripture, and then I want to just talk about some methods, just some ways that I have found helpful. But before that, we've talked about the statistics. I think, was it here that everything's running together as much as we've traveled, where it was something like 250,000 people die every day? I have written down 160,000 die every day, so I don't know which one of us is right, but... I don't know. I'm calling you the carpet to repent. So Brother Ryan is feeding you guys false information. It's only 160,000. No, but the point is you've got people who are going off into eternity. And we have the solution. I think Brother Kirk framed that well this Sunday. And I texted a friend about it. I was like, man, this is what we said. And I sent him I actually went on Wikipedia. I looked that guy up and I was really interested in that guy's story. And then just thinking about what he went through, seeing the results of what he didn't act on. And then if we could fast forward to the judgment seat of Christ, and I believe that this passage is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, I believe that that should be, I'd like to say that my motivation for serving the Lord is 100% because I love the Lord more than everyone and everything. That's not always the case. Sometimes my motivation is fear. Sometimes my motivation is because there is a real place called hell and people are going there. And so, obviously, we always want to be motivated out of the right things, but I believe fear is a good motivator. I think it's silly to sometimes people say, well, you can't motivate people with fear. If the building is on fire, I'm not going to love you out and just say, would you please come out and come out to freedom and safety? No, I'm going in there. I'm going to do what I can. And so that is the reality, is we are dealing with a society that is dying and we are dealing with a nation that is dying. So statistically speaking, 4,000 churches close their doors every year, with another 3,000 being planted. That's a net loss of 1,000 every year. Okay, I don't know about you guys. I don't like how things are going in our country. We can't define what a man and a woman is anymore. We've got people who have no idea about anything. Even the basic fundamental doctrines of just existence are up for grabs now. Okay? What's it going to look like in 10 years when we've lost 10,000 churches? Or if it's exponential and we've lost 20,000? And so we've heard the charge to go, because that's the solution. The solution isn't to hopefully vote the best way. And I'm not saying don't vote or don't be into politics at all, but we're not going to vote salvation for people.
Right.
People aren't going to get saved because of who's in the office. People are going to get saved because we are preaching the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. And so you guys know the charge to go into all the world. You're in a Bible preaching church because you hear that charge and you believe that yourselves. And so oftentimes we hear the charge and we get excited about it. And then what happens is we go along and then we go, well, I know I should be sharing the gospel, but I just don't know how. You see, back in Missouri, we have pet ducks. We live with my father-in-law. I don't know if anyone's ever raised ducks. Is my mic on, by the way? It's not? It is? Okay. Well, two different guys back there. One's nodding yes, one's nodding no. So you guys need wives is what you guys need. I don't know. But back in Missouri, we've got ducks, okay? And so we're raising ducks. We live with my father-in-law's. We're traveling, and we've got these ducks that we raised in a pen, and we live next to a creek, and we're on a hill. And every morning when we open up the gate of their pen, they get excited, they start eating, and then they awkwardly shimmy down this hill, and then they run straight to the creek. But the creek has this thing called a ledge, and it's a few feet tall, and for a duck that can't fly yet, they don't know what to do. And I feel like as Christians, a lot of times, we get excited. We're like the ducks. We run up to the edge. It's like, I'm going to share the gospel with someone. And we get to that edge and we go, now what do I do? And we're like those ducks. And so my goal tonight isn't to motivate you as much tonight. I know typically that's a lot of our preachers' motivation. I'm going to go into some of the scripture, but I just want to give you guys some tools that have helped me. Because at one point, I was not witnessing. At one point, I had the idea of, yeah, I want to share the gospel, but how? And so we're going to talk about those things tonight. So let's pray, we'll read, and then we'll go from there. So Father, we do praise you, God, that we can live by faith. We do praise you that the results are up to you, Lord, and that you grow the results. Lord, I just praise you for just the testimony this evening, Father, of you drawing people to a church that is preaching the gospel and making disciples. Lord, we give you the honor and praise for that. Just pray that you would use this church in this community to reach their neighbors, reach their friends, their family members with the gospel, Lord, the only message that offers salvation and true hope. I just pray that you would speak to your people tonight. Get me out of the way, Lord, and I just pray that your word would speak and convict us where we need conviction. God, that it would encourage us where we need encouragement. God, and we'll give you all the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So notice Paul said, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, we're in verse 6, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. If you keep reading in the passage, it talks about being judged according to our works. This isn't a works in order to be saved. These are works after our salvation. And I believe that this is primarily talking about how are you affecting other people's lives? Because notice, before we get into the practical, I just want to show in verse 10, it says, I have laid the foundation, okay? So I have laid the foundation. What do you put on top of a foundation? A house, a building, right? Okay, what does he say we are? He says, ye are God's building. So in other words, what are you doing to build up the house of God? What are you doing to build others? And we're thankful for our building, but we don't go to church. We are the church. Yeah. Amen? And so we need to realize that how are we building? What are we doing to add people to this building, to build the structure stronger? So discipleship, those types of things. And then it goes into what are the things that are going to last? And we heard this actually on Sunday morning, the word of God and the souls of men. And so this whole passage is actually, I believe, teaching about how are we discipling? How are we leading people to Christ? What are we doing in order to reach people with the gospel? And so I'm going to ask you guys to throw out some ideas. What are some reasons, okay, and you're among friends, what are some reasons that hold you back or have held you back from witnessing? All right, everybody witness it. No, Jesse. What will people?
Like you're a weirdo or something.
People are going to think you're a weirdo. They already think I'm a weirdo, so I've already gotten over that. You have a...
Well, I think I was afraid of giving false hope and, like, saying too much.
Sure. Okay. All right. Giving false hope, maybe. Yep.
Rejection.
Yep.
Yep, yep. People, maybe they don't want the message, and so then you're like, well, that's no fun.
Not having all the answers.
Someone asks you a question, and then you go, well, I don't know. I haven't thought about that exact scenario, right? Okay, anything else? Okay, I think all those are things. Everyone has experienced what you guys just described, okay? I've experienced it. Your pastor's experienced it. Everyone in here that has witnessed has experienced that. I believe that we can break it down to a few basic ones, the first one being the fear of man. I don't have the answers. I don't know exactly. I'm fearful about the rejection, or maybe I'll say the wrong thing. I'll say too much. I believe that we don't witness a lot of times because we lack closeness with God. How are we going to get excited and passionate about sharing about the Lord when our spiritual life is dry, when our Bible reading is dry, when our walk with the Lord is dry? We're not going to be excited. And lastly, I think a lot of it comes down to we don't know how to. You see, we're like the ducks. We get to the end of the creek, and then there's this cliff, and we go, I don't know what to do. And so Levi, my youngest son, he grabs a staff, and we call him the duck commander. And so he guides the ducks in order to bring them to an area where they can actually enter into the creek without tripping and falling and being clumsy. And so my goal tonight is to give you a couple ideas that will help us to avoid being clumsy and awkward, which we still will be. But anyway, so a few points before we go into the practicals. Notice verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. We don't give the increase. It is not up to us. We do not save anyone. We are just mail carriers delivering the mail. It is up to that person, and it is up to God, because it says God gives the increase. It is up to God working on that person. God might not be working on that person's heart. And so it wouldn't do us any good to, should we be upset that they're not saved? Yes, that's not what I'm saying. But should we despair and it's our fault? And if I had just said it a little bit better, if I had spoken a little more eloquently, no. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We can take hope and take thankfulness. We give God praise and thank that it is not up to us to save anyone. We plant, we water, or we're disobedient. Those are the only options. Now, notice verse 8. I love this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to how many people he leads to Christ. Is that what it says? According to how many people pray a sinner's prayer. According to how many people start coming to church. No, it says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. How many of you guys like to get paid what you're owed? You're at your job, you wish you would get paid what you're owed, okay? I know I've worked some jobs where I'm like, I am not getting paid what I'm owed. Or you're at work and there's always that guy that you don't know how he still has a job and he's got to have like dirt on the manager and you're like, you have done nothing ever since I worked here. You were here when I got here. I'm leaving this job. You're still here. How are you getting a paycheck? And you're wondering because that guy doesn't do anything. Okay. Well, here's the good news is that when it comes to God, here's how his economy works. You get paid what you're owed. That's awesome. If you're laboring. But if you're not laboring, you get paid what you're owed at the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn up, the Bible says. Yeah. That's the frightening thing. But the good thing is we can change that. The Bible says that God is slow to wrath. He's patient with us. He's long-suffering. And he's willing. Hey, if you're willing to repent, hey, God, I haven't been laboring for you. Okay, repent, confess, move on. Okay, we don't have to wallow in our sins. Can we say wallow? Do you say wallow here? Yeah. Okay, this church is, I'll just be honest, you guys are weird because like I was coming to South Dakota and I was like, all right, everybody's going to know I'm from kind of a southern state. And then like I'm talking to Pastor Jesse on the phone. I'm like, you're not from South Dakota. Like, and then I think Brother Kirk got up. I was like, well, he's not from South Dakota either. And I was like, okay. And then Brother McClellan from Georgia. And I was like, okay, all right, now I'm okay. I'm not the most southern person here, but... Anyway, we don't have to wallow in the fact that, you know, we haven't been perfect, okay? So it's time to get to work. It's time to do those things. And here's the thing is, it's not up to our fruit. Okay, so at some point, I don't know where this came from, we said, if that person leads more people to Christ, he has more spiritual fruit in God's economy than this guy who sees less people saved. I don't know where that came from. And so at some point, Baptists got this idea where, hey, I'm going to just have people repeat a sinner's prayer so that they can go to heaven, so that I can get on the newspaper or I can get into the publication and say, this is how many people we saw saved this week. Right. So we can do this. And now we're dealing with the fallout because we're seeing people who are false converts. We're seeing people who aren't disciples. And the Great Commission is not to make converts. It's to make disciples. Okay? And so at some point we got that idea. Well, that sounds good until you read the Bible and it's according to our own labor. Because the increase is up to God anyway. It's not up to us. And so we don't have to be fearful and go, well, if I don't see the right people saved, if I don't see enough people saved, it's useless. No, the Bible says that the laboring for the Lord is not in vain. Okay? How is that? Well, because we're rewarded according to our labor, not according to the fruits of the labor, because the fruit isn't up to us. So take consolation in the fact that God is in control of these things, that God will reward us according to our labor, not according to if you say things exactly right. Okay. Now, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon, but let the pastors take heed how he builds thereupon. Is that what it says? But let the missionary take heed how he buildeth thereupon. No, let every man, and the meaning every man and every woman, everyone who's saved, everyone who is saved is now building on this foundation. The foundation is Christ. So you get saved, you accept Christ as Savior, and now you're in the family of God, and now you're building on this foundation. All of us are building. All of us are building. And so this is not just a message for the missionary to go and fulfill the Great Commission. This is not just your pastor's job. Let me illustrate it this way. Now, I'm not a biologist, but do sheep make sheep or do shepherds make sheep? Sheep make sheep, okay? It's not a trick question. Sheep make sheep, okay? Shepherds guide the sheep. And so it is not just the pastor's job in order to make sheep. The Great Commission is for everyone. You guys remember, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Great Commission is for everyone to fulfill. It's not just the pastor's job. Now, the pastor is a sheep underneath the head shepherd, Christ. And so in that sense, he still has a duty to make sheep. But all of us are commanded to make sheep. And so we know that the commission, the Great Commission, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. The idea of teaching is to make disciples. And so I remember a missionary came through years ago at our church, and he called my friend, Brother Jeremy, got up, and he goes, all right. He goes, so you know the Great Commission is to make disciples. Yeah. And he goes, all right, so that's what your goal is. And he goes, yeah, that's my goal. He goes, where are your disciples? And all of a sudden, it got really quiet in our church, because all of us had to sit there and go, well, where are my disciples? Who are the people that I'm bringing up in the faith? Who are the people that I'm trying to reach out? And actually that was one of the catalysts for our church starting to shift into where we realized, hey, we had been making converts, but we hadn't been making disciples. And so we started to shift and change the way that we went about our ministry, but that's a different story for a different time. But we are all commanded to make disciples, okay? And it's not just the missionaries going off, whether it's another place in South Dakota, but you guys remember when Jesus said, he goes, pray for the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers into the harvest. He said, look up. The harvest was right there. And so your harvest is outside these walls. It's not this foreign land. Your harvest is all around you. And so we need to look up, okay? That's enough preaching. We're going to get into some practical. So, all right. Notice verse 10 again, okay? So it says at the end, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So I want to take this two directions. One is, how are you doing? So if you say, Jeff, I'm not doing that well in this, here's the good news, like I already said. Okay, repent of that, say, Lord, all right, I'm willing to be better about witnessing, I just don't know how. And then the next question is, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So we're going to talk about how can we actually share the gospel, because we're all sitting there going, all right, Jeff, I'm ready to share the gospel, I understand what you're saying, and now I just don't know. And so I've got a couple ideas that have been helpful for me. This is not thus saith the Lord. You do not have to witness this way. These are just witnessing tools, methods that I have personally found helpful. If you have something that works for you, keep using it. But these are just, they're like tools in the tool belt. Not every tool works for every job. And these are just things that can help you. And so one of the first things when I first started witnessing, my friend called me up that, you know, this is back when like YouTube was like brand new. And how many have heard of Ray Comfort, Living Waters Ministry, Way of the Master? Okay, a few people. And so I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but basically the gist of it is he asks people, hey, do you think you're a good person? And they go, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. And then what he does is he goes through, you know, four of the Ten Commandments and under the idea of the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, off of Psalm 19. And then we also understand from, I think, Ephesians or Galatians, where it says that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so he takes the law in order to show they're guilty. And so he'll be like, hey, do you think you're a good person? Yeah, I think I'm a pretty good person. And so then he goes through a few of the commandments. And he goes, all right, so you broke this commandment. Okay, so you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, and adulterer at heart. And these people who, like, at 5 minutes before that are like, I'm a pretty good guy, are all of a sudden going, wow, I'm really a sinful person. And then what he does, because, again, until people think they're drowning, they're not going to reach for a life jacket. And until people realize what their sin has done, they're not necessarily going to reach for the Savior. And so he goes through the gospel after they see their problem that their sin has gotten them into. So my buddy's like, watch these videos. I watched like 100 of these videos. And hey, do you think you're a good person? Yeah, I think I'm a good person. And just, you know, you're lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterate heart, you know. And then they're just like, man, you know. He's not critical about it. He's just very matter of fact. And so I finally was like, I'm going to get up the courage. I'm going to go out and witness this guy. So I go on to the University of Missouri's campus. And there's an area where just people are just always at. And so I walk up to this kid. And I was like, hey, man, do you think you're a good person? He goes, no. And I'm like, Ray, I watched 100 of your videos. Not one person did that the whole time. And so now I'm like that duck on the edge of the shore going, how do I get in here? And so it was the worst awkward witnessing experience. And I was just like, well, let's see if you're a good person. And so it went okay. And so I was like, you know, this is back when I was on social media. I was like, hey, can I add you on Facebook? Yeah, that'd be fine. Well, anyway, he didn't get saved, and his name's Cameron. And so, like, 2 years later, he's posting scriptures on Facebook. And I was like, I'm going to message this guy. Like, we didn't really interact much. And so I was like, hey, I see you're posting scripture. He goes, yeah, I got saved. And someone else had witnessed to him later on, and someone else, and then I think that his mom had gotten saved or something, if I recall, it was a long time ago. But he had become a Christian. You see, because at one point I planted, but someone else watered, but God in his sovereignty gave the increase, and Cameron didn't harden his heart and fight against God. He finally received Christ as Savior. It was not up to me, because I'm awkward, I'm weird, I stammer, I say a lot. You're like, yeah, I know, I've been listening to you preach for 25 minutes, you haven't said anything yet. But so it's like, if God can use me, God can use you. And so that's just one of the stories that I like to share, just because it was something where I didn't see the fruit from that. And so this Way of the Master, I would encourage you, get onto YouTube, look up Ray Comfort Witnessing, Way of the Master Witnessing, and just watch those videos. You don't have to do that. You don't have to witness that way, but I have found it helpful. In general, that's often how I will share the gospel. Not always. Not everyone's ready to receive like in that sense. And so I had one of my neighbors, David. I'd been friends with him for 2 years. We're both car guys. I had an old car that me and my dad restored together. He was into cars, and so we hung out a little bit. He knew I was a Christian. I hadn't witnessed to him. I'd been friends with him for 2 years. We'd hung out, and I remember I was on his sidewalk in front of his house, and we were talking, and David said something. He said a blasphemous joke, and I didn't laugh. And so, like a good Baptist, I told him that he was a worthless scoundrel, and I walked off, and so... No. You're like, that was a horrible thing to do. And so I didn't laugh, and then he looked at me, and he said, well, God's cool with that, right? And I just said, what do you think? Not accusatory, not like, what's wrong with you? I just said, well, what do you think? And he goes, I don't know. You're the Christian. Why don't you tell me? So I said, do you think you're a good person? He goes, yeah, I'm a pretty good guy. I was like, finally, someone admits that they're a pretty good guy. So I witnessed to him, and he's just like, you know, kind of deer in the headlights, like, man, I guess I've never really thought of myself as all these terrible things that you're talking about. He didn't get saved at that point, and so I said, I go, hey, David, would you like to do a Bible study with me? He goes, sure. All right. And I was like, well, our house is small, but the garage is like the only quiet place, and we're car guys, so we did our Bible study in the garage. And so at that point, after a few weeks in, he goes, hey, my friend Jordan believes in God, but I don't know that he knows everything you're talking about. Could he come too? Yes, as a matter of fact, Jordan can come in. And in fact, Jordan's a car guy, so we're going to keep doing our garage Bible study is the way we did it. Long story short, David ends up getting saved. Turns out Jordan had already professed to be a Christian, and Jordan's now one of our supporters. All of that is because at some point someone had said, hey, here's a couple different ideas that have helped witness. And you go, all right, Jeff, I don't know how to start a Bible study. I don't know what that looks like. Well, good thing for you, I brought some with. These are free on the table. I've only got a couple copies left. These are just like the visual illustrations. Our friends in Morocco developed these. It's called Adam to Jesus, and it's designed primarily for Muslims. I've found it works with non-Muslims as well, because everybody needs to understand that they're a sinner, and then there's a Savior who faithfully came and died for their sins. And so what this Bible study does is it goes into each week. It's an Old Testament story, and you read the scriptures, and you discuss it, and so it's more of a discussion. And at that point, you start witnessing on a weekly basis with this person, and each week you go into how the story shows a picture of sin, how man messed up, and then it shows God's grace, and then you discuss how it's a picture, because we know the Old Testament were examples for us today, and how many Old Testament stories are actually shadows of Christ who would come. And so each week you start developing and start sharing the gospel so that they can see, hey, the Bible is actually one big story with one main message. And so I like the Bible study because at that point, I'm the one who's making disciples. This is someone who is entrusting me in order to share the gospel and share the word of God. Now, these are just the visual portions. If you want a copy, grab a prayer card and shoot me an email and just say, hey, I want the PDF for it. I've got the PDF. I will email it to you. You do not need to buy it. You don't need to pay for anything. I'm just passing on what's been given to me. It doesn't cost me anything other than like 2 seconds to forward you an email. So if... Again, these are just practical things that I have found help me to share the gospel. And the reason I like the Bible study idea, okay, is we all have that friend who has been in church maybe, or went to church one time and then didn't like it, or maybe they were abused in a church, or maybe there was something that was said or done, and they used whatever excuse, some of them might be valid, but they used that excuse to go, all right, I'm done with God. And so you invite them to church and they go, I'm not going to church. But maybe you're friends with that person and you would say, hey, would you be interested in a Bible study? And they would say, yeah, actually, I would be interested in a Bible study because, as we heard earlier, it's not Bible study, it's church, right? We take the church to them. We are the church. And so I like the Bible study idea for that. And that's something that I think is we're missing. As Christians, a lot of times we like to witness to strangers because if they reject us, it's not awkward after that because we don't have to see them again. And I feel that we have often missed God sovereignly placing us in our families and in our friends and in our circles. And rather than reaching out to those people, we go, all right, I'm gonna keep this at a distance. I'm not going to share the gospel with them, but I'm willing to maybe pass out tracts or knock on doors. And at no point did you hear me say I'm against passing out tracts or knocking on doors. So don't say that I did. All right. So some people are like, oh, you're against door knocking. No, I'm not. But for some reason, I think, and the statistics show, so I'm going to talk about statistics real quick, okay? Why people started coming to church. 83% were invited by a friend. 83%. Can I say that God has you in your circles for a reason? 6% were invited by a pastor, which means that the pastors need to step it up because we're killing them right now. So 6% was through organized outreach. 2% through advertising. And I believe that the outreach is so low, one, because I don't believe that we witness as much as we should, one. But two, I believe that God has placed us in our friend groups for a reason. And so one of the things that we're missing out on is that relational aspect of, hey, friend, would you come to church with me? Would you like to do a Bible study? Can I share with you why I'm a Christian? So these are just a couple ideas. I'll talk about a couple ideas and then we'll wrap up. I'm not going to be like Brother Ryan on Sunday and preach for 2 hours, but that's not fair. He apologized like 47 times in a sermon. I was like, dude, do not apologize for preaching a long time. Although I preached for like an hour a couple weeks ago, and my wife's like, you're going to take a timer next time you're preaching. So I actually have my phone going right now, so I know how long I'm preaching. Anyway, now I'm wasting time, and you guys aren't going to get to hear the rest of the message. Okay, couple principles. I want to talk about a few principles, and then we're going to kind of wrap up a few things. As far as witnessing, first thing is befriend people. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Okay? If there's anything that we learned about COVID, as already stated, is people get lonely really fast. Okay? So show of hands, how many of you in the last 2 months, have felt lonely? Raise your hand. Okay? At least half the room. Okay? The other half are weirdo introverts. I don't know. But here's the thing. You have the church body. You have people to fellowship. What do lost people have? Why do you think they're in the bars? Why do you think they're searching for things in the world? Is ultimately, yes, it's sinful. Yes, it's those things. But they are looking for community. And I believe as Christians, we need to befriend people and get involved. And so whether that's going to the ball games, whether that, talking about hunting, I love hunting. If you're a pheasant or deer hunter, take someone along, befriend people. I talked about our friends who, we had our Bible study in the garage because we're car guys. Those are just easy ways that we can get involved. Use your hobbies in order to reach people. Whether it's, maybe you're a big sports fan. Invite people over who do that. Start to get involved in people's lives. Another thing to keep in mind, ask questions. You remember Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, do you understand what you're reading here? Yeah. That's the Jeff Cox version. But do you understand? It's okay to ask questions. Like when with my friend David, I said, what do you think? Not accusatory. Or ask him, why aren't you a Christian? Another thing to keep in mind, talk about God as if he's real. We're so bad at this. We get back to work on Monday and people are sharing. It's like, hey, what did you do this weekend? And it's like, oh, I did this. Oh, I did yard work or whatever. And it's like, what did you do? I went to church. Boring. What if we talked about God as if he was real? You remember the woman at the well? She didn't say, hey, do you guys want to come to church? And again, I'm not saying don't invite people to church. Please invite people to church, okay? That's not what I'm preaching. She talked about about Jesus as if he was real, because he is. What if we went up to someone and said to our friends and said, hey, God's been working on my heart about something. Can I share that with you? They've never had God work on their heart about anyone or about anything because they're lost. So there might be a chance that would be really interesting. Yeah, actually, could you share what God has been dealing with you? What does that mean? And it starts to open up the conversations if we would actually just talk about the Lord as if he's real. Can I share with God what he's doing in my life? And so some of you guys are sitting there going, well, what if my friends, I've been friends with this person for 25 years, and now I'm finally learning how to witness. What do I do? Just say, hey, I know we've been friends for 25 years. Could I share with you why I'm a Christian? That's it. We make it too complicated and we go, well, if I don't say the right thing, if I don't do the right thing. No, it's God that gives the increase. Yeah. We're just a plant. We're just to water. And so we need to confide in that and take solace in that being the reality. Again, I already mentioned the Bible study. I like it because we are taking church to them. Lastly, again, another idea, invite people to church. Hey, would you like to go to church? Ask yourself, when was the last time you invited one person to church? When was the last time? When was the last time you shared the gospel with one person? And again, it doesn't mean that we don't invite strangers. It doesn't mean that we don't, you know, knock on doors or hang door flyers or whatever that looks like around here. I don't know. But I believe that we are definitely missing out, that God has put us in our relationships for a reason. Okay, I've got friends that I don't do this, but here's another idea. I've got friends that their goal is to invite a lost family over for dinner once a week. That's their goal. We're eating dinner anyway. Yeah. It's not much more to say, hey, we can create a few more placemats, you know, whatever it is. But we overlook the simple things and we just go, well, it's too hard. People don't want to hear about it. That's the news. That's Satan telling us those things. That's not God telling us to stop witnessing, okay? Now, I'm going to ask a couple questions, and we're going to say, repeat our 3 points, because that's how you preach. At least that's what they say at seminary, but I didn't even go to seminary, but I was told that. I like to dig myself a hole right before the end, right? So, again, my wife wrote all this, so it's her fault, and she's not here to defend herself, so don't tell her that I said that. But all joking aside, show of hands, how many of you came to Christ on your own without someone sharing the gospel with you? Is there anyone? None. One. Two. Okay. Pastor Marwan is one of the few people I also know who came to Christ on his own. I mentioned him on Sunday. He was saved for an entire year before meeting another Christian through studying the scriptures. Okay. So 99% of the people in here came to Christ because someone shared the gospel with them. You know, whether it was the church or an event or a family member or a friend. But what's that say about the importance of witnessing? Again, can God save people without using us? Yes. Does he have to use us? No. But God has chosen to use his people for his glory in order to shine and be the light and the salt of the earth. And so if the gospel is dependent on us, are people going to get the gospel? Okay, so one to recap and then we'll pray. One, we do not give the increase. Okay, stop putting pressure on yourself. That's not your job. It's the Holy Spirit working on people's lives. It's that person, whether they're going to harden their heart and reject Christ or whether they're going to soften their heart and receive Christ. Again, we are rewarded for labor, not results. It's not up to us. We don't produce the fruit. We don't create the conviction. We just have a job of preaching the gospel. And lastly, again, how are you building? Are you doing well? And so I want to encourage you, if you are not witnessing, do something. Start somewhere, even something small. Maybe there's one person that while I was preaching, you said, I need to share the gospel. Start with one person. And then water those seeds after you've planted. Ask them, get involved, start having those conversations. We can reach the world. The Great Commission is God's plan A. There is no plan B. God's not sitting there going, well, now what, that we're not doing the Great Commission? No, we can reach the world. It's a task that he has set out for us to do, and he's enabling us to do it. We just need to go do it. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, God, your word. Thank you for your sovereignty. God, thank you that we can rely on the fact that you provide the increase, God, that it is not up to us, Lord, our abilities. But God, I just pray that tonight was an encouraging time, Lord, that people may have gotten some ideas on ways they can share the gospel, Lord, and that we would leave here encouraged, trusting in you to work on people's hearts ahead of time, trusting you that you will give the increase in your time, Lord, and God, that you will also direct our paths to the people who are receptive. God, I just pray for those who are witnessing that you would encourage them to keep going. And God, those who are hesitant to share the gospel, Lord, give them the confidence, Lord, in you and not in their ability. And give them the confidence that the message is true, Lord, that we preach, that Christ is crucified and that you rose from the dead and you offer eternal life, Lord. These things are true and good. And help us to hold these things. Help us to proclaim these things. I just pray that you would continue to work on the hearts here, use this church here, as well as also the other brothers' church further up north. I just pray that you continue to bring people out to these rural communities, Lord, where gospel preaching churches are few and far between. I just pray that you would raise up more people who would live sacrificially so that we can see more people saved, Lord, and come to know you and worship you. I just ask that you would guide us home tonight, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and the time. Just pray that you would bless these people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.